Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. We glorify you. We magnify you. Lord, I'm asking God that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So I'm ready. I hope you're ready. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Jude, and we're going to be expounding verses 5 through 8. So I need your attention right up here. Here we go. And I've entitled this evening's message, Examples of Judgment. Examples of Judgment. And so, my friends, before we get started, throughout the history of man, for 6,000 years now, mankind has experienced types of remedial judgments and judgments that God had to bring, especially to nations. And we see the collapse throughout history, how these huge empires would rise up. And one of the things that was to their demise was the majority of the time they became immorally corrupted from within. And then God would allow enemies to come and destroy those nations because of the wickedness that they would develop throughout the years. And a lot of it was very grotesque. It was, God could even look on that type of darkness, that type of iniquity. And so in the book of Jude, with one chapter, explains to us that we need to take heed in the time that not only that they lived in, but the time, I believe, was prophetic for our day and time. That we would take heed, we would be mindful, that you and I who have been called out of darkness into what? God's marvelous light? That we would walk in His ways, that we would walk holy. The Bible is clear that we are to walk with holiness. God even said that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And so we need to be about our Father's business. We need to truly be the church and not play the church. Can I get an amen in the house? You and I are vessels that God has raised up. We were all broken vessels at one time, and then God brought us together. And now God wants to use you. He wants to use me. He wants us to have a voice in this world. We live in a dark world. We see that this whole entire nation is divided in half. But I'm here to let you know that God, hallelujah, is the reconciler. God will reconcile man unto himself, and God wants us to reconcile with one another. Can I get an amen? That we would glorify God and magnify God, and that we would lift him up. Many of us right now have families that are kind of like gone astray. But I'm here to let you know that God is able to reach them and bring them back into the fold. Can I get an amen? We need to be people of faith that will believe God and His yeses and His amens. And I truly believe that God is going to do something radical. God's going to do something miraculous. God is going to blow us away right before He returns. Hallelujah. We're going to see our loved ones saved. Those who you've been praying for. Those who have been lost and cast out. Hallelujah. That God is going to resurrect some dead souls and bring them back into the household of faith. You got to believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. And that the joy of the Lord will be our strength. Can I get an amen in the house? Hallelujah. Come on. We got to give God a shout of praise. And so, my friends, let's look into the study and let's ask God to speak to us through the scriptures, because the Word of God is alive, sharper than a two-edged sword, able to reach down into the bone and marrow. Praise God. And so we need to take heed It's time now to put on our spiritual glasses and look into the law of liberty and ask God, God, speak to me. God, if there's any wicked ways in me, God, help me. Help me get these things right. Help me, God, walk in a sanctification, in a type of sanctification that you are doing in our lives, oh God. Oh God, thank you. Thank you for your delivering power. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you, God, for what you're doing in our lives. Praise God. So, turn with me to Jude, and we're going to read verses 5 through 8, and let's look at the board right up here. And I've entitled this evening's message, Examples of Judgment. Examples of Judgment. So, let's go now to verse 5, and it reads, "But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. Verse 6, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day." Wow. Look at verse 7 and verse 8. "As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in a similar manner, to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." Wow. Look at verse 8. "Likewise also, these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries." My goodness, saints of God, we need to take heed. Can I get an amen? We need to take heed. And so, my friends, let's go now and look at verse 5. "But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe." I need you to catch that, saints. That's a serious indictment, huh? That's a serious matter. Oh, that's right. You see, saints, to prove the determined fate was certain to come upon these false teachers and all the believers, Jude wanted to remind the believers of three examples of God's punishment of sin and all the rebellion from the past. And such judgment, saints of God, also awaited the sin and rebellion of the false teachers. Oh, yes, God took vengeance on these false teachers that would creep in and pervert and change God's gospel, the word of God, the law of liberty. And so first, Jude reminded his readers about God's people, Israel, who although the whole nation was rescued out of slavery in Egypt, not everyone entered the promised land. Wow. My gosh, not all of them did. You see, my friends, the entire nation had received God's deliverance. That's right. He set them free. Seeing his incredible miracles in accomplishing their exodus, God sent the 10 plagues. And the final one was what? The death angel. And we just learned and were reminded last Sunday regarding the blood that they had to put on the doorpost and the lintel. Why? So that the death angel would pass over them. But saints of God, when they arrived at the entrance to the promised land, after they were delivered from Pharaoh, many rebelled against God, refusing to believe that he could or could even protect them. You see, my friends, one of the roadblocks in our lives, And that happens to many of us, is a spirit of unbelief. You see, their unbelief resulted in destruction. From the original group, only Caleb and Joshua and their families were allowed to enter into Canaan. Why? Because God destroyed every one of those who did not remain faithful. Wow. Wow. Let's look what the Word of God says right here. Look at this in Hebrews. In Hebrews, let's look at this. Paul wrote this in Hebrews, and he spelled it out. "For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? Verse 18. And to whom did he swear that they would not enter the rest, but to those who did not obey? Verse 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of what? Unbelief. There it is. Unbelief. My friends, you see, saints of God, Jude wrote this down. Jude used Israel's experience on the threshold of the promised land to explain that even some among God's people can actually turn away. Now, we're not going to judge them, but it's clear in Scripture, and it's also been evident in our lives that we have seen some people turn away. And here's what we need to do. Pray. Pray. We need to pray for those, that God would help them, God would strengthen them, God would teach them. We can't judge, we can't point fingers on where they're at with God. All we can do is say, oh God, have mercy. Why? Because at one time you and I were no different. You and I, we rebelled as well. And it's by God's mercy that He brought us back into the fold. It is God's mercy that forgives us and cleanses us when we come humbly yet boldly to the throne room of grace. Saints of God, rebellion is a great matter with God. And this is why we need to keep our hearts pliable under the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And when we do sin, confess it right away. Because we are going to make mistakes. Yes, as born-again believers. Yes, because why? Because we live in this sinful body. This sinful body does not want to line up with the Spirit of God. And so this is why we need the Word of God. This is why we need the power of the Holy Spirit. That we can look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That He can strengthen us in the time of weaknesses. Many of us will be weak in moments. Many of us have different trials tailor-made for you and I. Your trial may not affect me, and my trial may not affect you, but there's still an effectiveness that God will allow to come into our lives so that we can be tested and proved. Can I get an amen? You see, my friends, the false teachers had come from the ranks of the believers. That's right. They came from within. They came deceiving the people, looking for self-gain and coming up with a different doctrine than what was taught to them. And nothing's changed in 2,000 years. There's many denominations that are not even looking for Jesus to return. Why? Because they want to keep the bankroll coming in. They have bills and obligations to pay. And they're basically saying, don't come back just yet, because we're not done here. Wow. Oh, that's right, saints of God. And so while not truly followers of Christ, they weren't following back then, and a lot of them are not truly following them today. What they were saying and doing, many of the right things, even as they were teaching their wrong doctrines. Oh, yes, yes. You see, my friends, they understood that they could find deliverance from bondage to sin, like bondage to Egypt. Yet they were choosing sin over salvation, meaning grievous things contrary to the Word of God. And the obvious result, Jude wrote, would be that they, like the disobedient Israelites, would be destroyed. Wow. Wow. Listen, here's the bottom line. You and I do not want to be in the hands of an angry God. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. Let's move on now to verse 6 in the book of Jude. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, He has reserved an everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of what? Of the great day. Wow, 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 wow. Wow, there's a judgment coming. There is a judgment coming. It's going to be called that great day. My goodness. So saints, this second example of God's punishment of disobedience describes certain angels Not those who live in heaven and glorify God, but those who did not stay within the limits of authority God gave them, but left. They all left the place where they belonged. My goodness, my goodness. How did that happen? Only God knows why, and God will share it with us when we see Him face to face. You see, my friends, once pure, holy, and living in God's presence, they gave into pride. That was their demise. And they joined Satan to rebel against God. And they left their positions of authority and their dwelling with God, resulting in eventual doom. That's right. You see, Peter explained that God did not spare even the angels when they sinned. What? My goodness, my goodness. Let's look at what Peter wrote in 2 Peter here. Look at this. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for what? Judgment. My goodness, my goodness. See, God's word is forever settled in heaven. You and I cannot change God's word. It is settled. There's a period at the end. And God said it, and He will do it, just like He said it. And you and I, we cannot convince each other otherwise. And this is what the false teachers did. They try to twist the scriptures. They try to say, well, it was just for them. No, this is for all who would hear, all that would take heed, all that would know that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see, my friends, scholars differ as to which rebellion Jude referred. And this could refer either to the angels who rebelled with Satan, that's found in Ezekiel, or more likely to the sin of the sons of God, described even in Genesis. An interpretation given in the book of Enoch and the Apocrypha, when angels came to earth and took women as sexual partners. Oh yeah, it's throughout that. It's found in Revelation as well. But let's look at Ezekiel real quickly. Let's look at this. In Ezekiel 28, 14 through 15, it says, you were the anointed cherub who covers. I establish you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was what? Found in you. That was Lucifer, the beautiful cherub who brought the praise and glory in heaven. But we just read that pride and iniquity was found in him, and he lifted himself up. He wanted to be like the Most High God. He wanted to be on one of the thrones with God. And he was cast down, and he took a whole bunch of angels that became demons with him. Oh, that's right. That's right. And let me just say this. Because of the fall of man, we live in a realm of darkness, of because of this fallen being. But I'm here to let you know, soon and very soon, Jesus is going to come, and he's going to renovate, and he's going to take care, and righteousness will dwell one more time on this earth for the thousand-year millennium. I can't wait for that time. But one dramatic thing is going to take place that the whole world is going to wonder what happened is when we get raptured out of here, when Jesus comes for his bride and takes us out of here. Praise God. How many of you can't wait for that day? I know I can't wait for that time. I've been preaching this since the day I got saved 33 years ago, and it's now evident the time is drawing closer and closer. Let's go to Genesis right here. Look at this. In Genesis 6, 1 through 4. Now it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives from themselves, all whom they chose. Look at this. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men of old, men of renown. Wow. So as we can see, there was a whole bunch of iniquity back then. This is why God had to flood the earth. Now, let's look what John wrote in Revelation. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. You see, God had to get rid of old Slewfoot and all his dominions. And Slewfoot, Satan, is angry. He's angry because he has no more access now. Well, that's right. And the Bible says that his wrath is going to be poured out on this earth. Oh, that's right. But then Jesus will come and cast him into the bottomless pit. Oh, that's right. And all his hordes of demons, they're going to be cast into the bottomless pit. And they'll be bound up for 1,000 years. Praise God. Praise God. I can't wait for this day. That's right. You see, saints, Jude's readers apparently understood his meaning as well as the implication that God did not spare even the angels. Neither did he spare the false teachers. Pride and lust had led to civil war and to the angels they're falling from grace. You see, my friends, even the false teachers. Let's go back here for a moment. Let's look at this for a moment. Look at this in Revelations. Praise God. Praise God. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. The dragon angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. You see, my friends, the angels and the false teachers, it was because of pride and lust would lead to judgment and destruction. Wow, saints of God. Wow. And it's for these disobedient angels, God has kept them chained in prisons of darkness waiting for the day of judgment. These angels were imprisoned in Tartarus. Oh yeah, let's look at this for a moment in 1 Peter. By whom he also went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 souls, were saved through water. Wow, look at this. And look what it says in 2 Peter. 2 Peter 2, 4 through 5. Look at this. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of 8 people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood. Look at this. On the world of the ungodly. See, people don't understand. God is love. God is good. God is graceful. But he's also righteous and just. And there is judgment that he sends. He may not send it right away, but he does send judgment. And the judgment that's about to come upon this earth is going to be so intense. For the Christians, we need to pray that God will take his church out of here because it's going to be hideous. Well, that's right, saints of God. You see, some scholars describe the chains as metaphors for the confinement of darkness. Others take them to be literal chains in a dark pit somewhere in this earthly sphere. Most likely, this place of punishment is a heavenly realm that is set aside for punishment. And these sinful angels will be kept in a place of punishment until the great day of judgment when they will face their final doom. Oh, that's right. Look what it says in Matthew right here, in Matthew 25:41. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Wow. Wow, my friends. What does that mean? What did Jesus mean by that? That means all those who forsake the Lord Jesus Christ, all those who were even in church but never had a relationship with God, they were playing the part. They may have grown up in Sunday school and thought, well, I'm just going to hang out in church now. This is part of my life. Never been born again. Never cried out with a heart of repentance. Never been washed in the blood and filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. And then the scoffers and the mockers, those who would antagonize the Christian faith. Unbelievers, as we just were talking about. They're going to have their place. Where? Let's read that again. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Those are Jesus' words. They're not the apostles' words. Jesus said there's going to be many that will fall into hell. Wow. Wow. So let's move on. Let's move on to verse 7. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh. Look at this. Are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Wow. Wow. This is a no joke. This is a no joke matter with God. Listen, it's written. And I know there's some churches that will skip right over this. Why? Because they don't want to scare no one. Listen, I would rather inform the saints of God of truth, things that they need to examine their life and their heart, or to end up finding themselves in that place and saying, my pastor, my elder, my brother, and my sister never warned me about this place. Wow. Listen, those of us, we have such a huge accountability to those who teach the Word of God. This is why I love expository teaching, because we do not sideline, we do not skip over, we read through the Scriptures and expound what thus saith the Lord is saying to you and I. And it's only but God's grace that God allows us to see these things, to hear these things, so that we can make corrections in our life by God's grace. And guess who will strengthen you? God. Guess who will help you? God. And guess who will deliver us? God. It's God all by Himself that will take all the glory and honor with our lives. Can I get an amen? You see, there's a lot of good man-made programs like the 12-step program, but I'm here to let you know it doesn't need to take 12 steps, but one step toward the Lord Jesus Christ, and God will deliver you. God will sanctify you. God will raise you up, hallelujah, as a born-again child of God, filled with the Spirit of promise, heaven bound and a hell to shun. Praise God. Praise God. And so let's look at our third point. Finally, saints of God, a third example of God's judgment of disobedience. Jude pointed out that Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighboring towns were destroyed by fire. You see, my friends, the inhabitants were so full of sin that God wiped out the cities off the face of the earth. And the people were following their own sinful natures, indulging in sexual immorality and pursuing sexual perversion. God rained down fire and burning sulfur as punishment. Oh, it's right here in the Word of God. Look at this. In Genesis 19, 24 through 26. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So He overthrew those cities of the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. Look at this. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Let me just touch on Lot's wife. The angels came and said, we're about to punish this city. Go and run and flee, and don't turn back. Do not turn back. But Lot's wife turned back. Why did she turn back? because she wasn't ready to leave. Her life was there in the city of Sodom. Her passion was still there. Her family was probably still there. Everything that she was tied to on this earth was there. She didn't trust God that God was going to make things beautiful for their family. And as soon as she turned back, she turned into a pillar of salt. And Lot saw it and kept walking. He had no other choice but to keep going. Saints of God, there's going to be many people like Lot's wife. They're not ready to depart. They're not looking for Jesus' return. They're caught up in the isms and schisms of this life. They're so tied up to all their plans and all their business transactions and everything. They're so tied up to this world that they have no clue that a better world is coming, that God is going to establish for those that love Him. My friends, my heart is crying out for those who would listen to this message, that you would truly look through the lens of Scripture and through your heart of hearts, if you're truly born of God, that you would look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You see, saints, so complete was God's judgment and destruction that the cities no longer exist today. Archaeologists believe they may be under the waters of the Dead Sea. Oh, that's right. That's right. The destruction of these cities were served as a warning of the eternal fire that will punish all who are evil. The fire that rained on the evil, all those cities, pictures the fire that awaits unrepentant sinners. And many people don't want to believe that God will punish people with eternal fire for rejecting Him. Oh, that's right. But this is clearly taught in Scripture, my friends. Sinners who do not seek forgiveness from God will face eternal darkness. God warned against all who would rebel against, ignore, or even reject God. And so let's move on. Let's move on to verse 8, our final scripture. Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. My God, it's no different, saints of God. It's no different than it was way back in Noah's day. You see, the false teachers used dreams and visions for sources of their authority. Drawing from these three analogies, Jude indicated and indicted the false teachers in three areas. Let's look at the first one. Number one, that they live immoral lives. You see, like the citizens of Sodom and Gomorrah, they follow wherever their sinful desires lead them. Oh, that's right. These people taught that Christian freedom placed believers above moral rules. No one living in such a way should attempt to speak for God. By doing so, these false teachers brought great judgment on themselves. Wow. Look at this. They defy authority. They defy authority. This authority could refer to church leaders, angelic powers as below, or the Lord Himself. Most likely, the false teachers rejected the authority of all of these, and they lived to please themselves and dismiss the prospect of a second coming and judgment by God. Wow. Look at this. Number three, they would scoff at the power of the glorious ones. Oh, that's right. That's right. Ridiculed. Saints, in light of the comparable verse that we just read in 2 Peter 2:11, the celestial beings mentioned here most likely are the fallen angels, the guilty celestial beings who deserve what? condemnation. Let's look at this verse of scripture right here. Let's look at this in 2 Peter 2, 4 through 11. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of the eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. Look at this, verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. Verse 8, for that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of the temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. Look at this. And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. Wow. Wow. That's right. Saints of God, the false teachers slandered the spiritual realities that they did not understand. And perhaps by taking Satan's power too lightly. Jude was emphasizing that the false teachers were immoral, insubordinate, and irreverent. Jude hardly needed to say more. The believers had no reason for listening to following such people. Saints of God, I'm here to let you know that it is time now. It is time to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let me just say this right now. We live in a unique time. 5 months from now will be the Feast of Trumpets. What makes this feast very special is, number one, the last final feast, Feast of Trumpets, Feast of Yom Kippur, and Feast of Tabernacles are all on the biblical month of Tishri. Never before have all three been on the month of Tishri. Usually they go into the next biblical month, but they're all on Tishri. Number two, it's a brand new Shemitah cycle, a brand new 7 years. And you know the teaching, you know what I've been showing you, that every first year of a brand new 7 year cycle, there's a type of judgment that comes to this world. Oh, that's right. That's right. And lastly, it happens every 50 years. It's going to be a Jubilee year. Starting this September in the biblical month of Tishri. All three are coming together, lining up. Listen, saints of God, this is so miraculous that all three events are taking place this coming September in the month of Tishri on the biblical calendar. Am I saying that the rapture is going to take place this September? Nope. But this is a rapture watch. This is a time to be looking up. This is a time where the tribulation may begin. Why? Because the tribulation cannot begin in the middle or the end of a Shemitah cycle. It must start at the very beginning of a 7 year cycle, and the tribulation is 7 years. My friends, look what's happening in our world today. Look what's taking place in our nation. Look at the wars that are taking place. Earthquakes that are so numerous, you can't even count them every day around the world. There are false teachers. There's apostasy. People falling away from the truth of God, running to fables and false prophets. and yet their lives are still crumbling before them. My friends, this is time to wake up, to shake yourself off and awaken. God wants His church to wake up that He is soon and very soon going to come. Hallelujah. He's about to appear, saints of God. And I have proof in the Word of God. It's found in Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's look at this. Paul wrote to them and said, "But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus." Look at verse 15. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are" what? "Asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort, comfort, comfort one another with these words." Wow. Wow, my friends. As I just mentioned, this is a rapture watch this coming September on Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets. It's clear that the last trump takes place during this ceremonial, traditional celebration on that particular feast day. The Feast of Trumpets. Now, are we going up on that feast day? I would love and hope that we do, but only God knows the feast day that we will be taken up. But we need to be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Because when that day finally comes, this whole world is going to go into chaos. Why? Because billions of born-again believers around the world are going to be out of here. Oh, that's right. And all the unbelieving people left behind are going to mourn because we're going to be gone. We won't be here anymore. And some are even church folks in church that have been playing church. They're not real with God. They're going to remember these teachings that we're leaving behind. And many wonderful prophetic teachers that teach truth will be left behind for those that are still here mourning our departure. My friends, the next greatest event is going to be Jesus coming for His bride. And the Bible says this body of flesh will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. I have proof for that. Let's look at that found in 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 54. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be" what? "Changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be" what? "Change." Look at this. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Wow. It's going to be that fast. Faster than the speed of light. Now you see me, now you don't. That's how fast we're going to be out of here. And the whole world is going to mourn. And it's going to turn into chaos. And this is why the Antichrist will show his face. And people will follow him to their utterly destruction. My friends, it's time to get right before God. You don't have to go through that terrible time that's in the near future. All you got to do is cry out to God. Ask God to save you. Ask God to wash you in His blood. It first starts with repentance. you were walking the course of this world. And God is saying, turn, turn. Just turn your life to Jesus and turn your back to sin and walk toward God and ask God to forgive you and cleanse you. There's a scripture that spells it all out. Let's look at this right here, found in Acts. But before we go there, I want you to watch this video clip. You need to see this video clip because you don't want to be left behind. Let's look at this.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come...
Wow. Every time I see that video, I'm reminded of God's grace toward us as believers. But throughout the world, many are going to be in that situation you just saw. Those who were in church, playing church, never been born again. They were in church for all the wrong reasons. And it'll be a reminder to them that they had an opportunity to give their heart to Jesus. So here's that scripture now that I was talking about. Let's look at it. It's found in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38 through 39. Then Peter said to them, repent. That's the key. Turn to God. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. That means forgiveness of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift is eternal life. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. Wow, that's it. That's it. That's all it in a nutshell, my friends. Praise God. Praise God. How many of you would love to have Jesus come into your life right now? How many of you would want to know without a shadow of a doubt that I will be with God when He comes? You might have just logged on or maybe been watching, you know, several weeks now, and God is now speaking to you. God wants to save you. God wants to do something mighty in your life and in your family's life and all those people that are part of your sphere of influence. God will reach out to them as well, just through you. That's right. One soul at a time. If that's you, I want you to bow your heart and your head with me. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's watching to pray with me for you that God would save you and do the miraculous in your heart. Bow your heart and your head and pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for all my sins, every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise and glory. Listen, someone just gave their heart to Christ. Hallelujah. Listen, not right down below is our website. How about logging on? Our phone number, our email's there. reach out to us. Let us know that you gave your heart to Christ. We'd like to get you in your hand a Bible and point you to a church that will teach the unadulterated Word of God. And so I am so mighty thankful once again that you all have allowed me to come into your living rooms. I hope you were blessed by this expository teaching found in the book of Jude. I'm looking forward to seeing you all this Sunday at 10 a.m. Listen, we're having another potluck, so bring one of your favorite dishes. Immediately after service, we're going to go into the fellowship hall, and then right after we have a bite to eat, for those who want to be blessed in the healing rooms, our healing rooms will commence right after our time of fellowship and breaking of bread. And so, on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, I want to send out this benediction as we close this evening's Bible study. And it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name. And so, my friends, we're looking forward to seeing all of you Sunday morning at 10 a.m. God bless you, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. Hallelujah. We give you the-